This morning I want to try to tackle one of the most common questions that we hear in the church world today in Christianity, and that is the question, how can a loving God allow or send someone to hell? That is a question that has been brought up for hundreds of years, I guess. It's often been an issue. It causes some people a great bit of concern. They just don't understand that. They have a real problem with that, in fact. And perhaps that's what Nicodemus was thinking as he heard the words of Jesus. And so Christ, I believe in these verses and others that we could turn to, but in these few verses gives us the answer. So if you have your Bibles in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, if you'll stand with me as we read the final words of Christ to Nicodemus. Again, this is still part of the answer to Nicodemus when right after John 3:16, Jesus says these words. He says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the power that is contained in your word. And so, God, I pray that you would speak this morning. God, that that I would decrease and you would increase. God, that your word would be proclaimed and hearts touched. God, lives changed here this morning. And we'll give you the praise for what you do, for which in Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Buckle up your pew belts this morning. This is, at the very minimum, four sermons and possibly seven. I've worked on it and prayed over it for a while. And instead of seven, you're going to get it all in one shot. So that's, I don't know, we may be here till, I don't know, till I get done. But I said at least four, if not seven, sermons that originally as I started working on this text, and all of them dealing with one question. What is the cause of condemnation? We cannot avoid the truth. We cannot avoid the fact that the Word of God makes plain that there is condemnation, that people will spend an eternity separated from God in a lake of fire, in a place that was prepared for Satan and his angels. And because of that, many people have wrestled, some even in the church. Sometimes it's a difficult question. It really is. It's a painful question. How do we answer that when someone asks that? And they will. They do. How does a loving God send someone or allow someone to go to a place like hell? And as we wrestle with that question, again, many in the church even, we struggle with that. It is difficult for us to imagine and understand a place like hell. We've read the description, and we know how the Bible describes hell. And it's difficult for us in our mind to balance this idea of a God of love and a place like hell. And so this morning, I want us to look at what Christ says in these words. And again, remember, you cannot separate these verses from what has already transpired in this chapter. Again, we're still in Christ's conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Christ, and obviously Christ realized that Nicodemus had on his mind the question about the kingdom of God. And so he begins to explain to Nicodemus what's required required of a man to inherit, to have a relationship, to be have everlasting life, as he describes it, in heaven. And then he goes on and he says, but understand that there is an alternative, and some will end up there. And so the question comes, then why? Why would a loving God allow that or send someone there? And Christ gives Nicodemus, shortly after he tells him that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, goes on and says God sent his Son not of the world to condemn the world, for it's not that anyone should perish, but that all should be saved. And but then he goes on, he says, but there will be some who are condemned. What are those causes? What are those things that Jesus is going to explain causes a person to end up separated for eternity from God? What is it that causes a person to end up in a place like hell, a place that is described as a lake of fire, a place of great torment, of separation from God, a place where a man in the book of Luke says, this is so bad, I would be content with just the drop of water that would stick on the end of a finger would satisfy me. What would cause a person to end up in a place like that? Jesus gives us four answers to that question. Look with me again back in verse 18, and you notice what he says there. When he says that he that believeth on him not is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because. And so we have the answer to that question. What is the because? He says because he has not believed. What is the first reason that Jesus defines as a reason, a cause of a man to be eternally condemned, to separation from God, to an eternity in a devil's hell? And as I studied this, a word came to my mind, a realization came to me that I had never really thought about as a reason, as a cause for that condemnation. Notice what he says, that a man is condemned because he believes not. Now, what is it that he doesn't believe? Jesus just told us in verse 16 that whosoever believeth in him. So what is the cause here when a man chooses to refuse to believe in the name of Jesus Christ? He is condemned. What is that? That is a lot of things that we could think of. It could be called disrespect. It could be called doubt. It could be called a lot of things. But one word that kind of pierced my heart as I studied this and really began to intrigue me as I thought about that is the very arrogance of unbelief. The very arrogance of unbelief. Nicodemus comes to Christ looking for the way, the path to the kingdom. And Jesus tells him in verse 16 that the way to the kingdom, the way to a relationship with God, the pathway to heaven, is that a man believeth on him. That a man believes on the name of Jesus Christ. And then he says in this verse, but if a man is so arrogant that he believes that he knows another way. And let's think about it. That's where we are in the world today. Many people will say, we know the Bible tells us that there is no other way that a man may be saved. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And yet we live in a world where many people, if you say to them, how are you? Why are you going to heaven? How do you think you get to heaven? They will look at you and tell you, well, because I go to church every week. They'll tell you, because I give, because I teach, because I'm a deacon, because I preach. They will tell you a lot of things, because I'm not as bad as that guy, because I'm better than this person. In other words, they have arrogantly said that the Bible says that the way, the truth, and the life is Jesus Christ. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Jesus just told Nicodemus that a man, if they want to have everlasting life, eternal life, they must believe in Jesus Christ. What arrogance it is to say, I know another way. I know a different way. I know what God has said. I know what the Bible says. I know the Bible says you must be born again. But I have decided that there is another way. I want you to think for a moment about the disrespect, the very arrogance of that. If I was to go to Archie and I was to say, Archie,
I want to come to your house. Give me directions. Now, I don't know what you know about Archie, where he lives, but he's lived in the same house the majority of his life. Vast majority, all but a handful of years, correct? And if I were to say to Archie, how do I get to your house? And he were to say to me, you drive this parking lot, you turn right, you go up here to the stoplight, you turn left, you go out the stop sign, you turn left, go to the light, turn left, go to the light, turn right, go to the light, turn right, go to the light, turn right. That'll get you real close. And if he was to tell me that, that's the way to the house that I have lived in for the better part of 3 years. You know, how many years it takes to get that gray headed? I have lived there that long. And I was to look at him and say, well, that sounds good, but I think I know a better way. That'd be arrogant. Isn't there any other word you could use for that? I know you've lived there all your life, Archie. You made that trip from this church to your house thousands of times. Disrespectful. It's not just unbelief. It's arrogance. What does the Bible tell us? Now, let's take that and play that out. What does the Bible tell us about pride? It tells us God hates pride. It tells us pride comes before what? The fall. And the very arrogance of unbelief, that the very Son of God would look at us and say that God sent His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, and for us to say, I know a different way. The very arrogance of unbelief. Listen, I want you to understand something this morning. The number one cause of condemnation in history has been that simple fact, that men were too arrogant to accept their need of a Savior. That I'm good enough as I am. I'm better than that person. I'm smarter. I know a better way. I have an idea of my own. I have a different path. The very arrogance of unbelief. It's not that God has chosen to sin. God has said, you're too arrogant. You have your own way. If I was to look at Archie and say, I think I know a better way. I think it'd be better to go down Bob Kent Road, cross over, going out the hill, turn right on Kerr Street, go down, turn down the Paris Avenue. If Archie had any sense, you know what he'd do? He'd look at me and say, what you want to do? Go ahead. I'm not going to argue with him. I'll leave. I'm going that way. Yeah. This is the way I'm going. Now, those of you who have navigation on your phone, GPS in your car, you know, every now and then, I will punch in an address that I kind of know where I'm going anyway, but I just want to see which way does it tell me to go. And every now and then it'll say the way I know to go, and sometimes it'll give me a different path. You know, sometimes it'll tell me the way to go, and I go, I ain't going that way. You know, I said, I've been there before. I don't care what you say. That's not the way to go. Listen, you know, it's one thing when you're arguing with your smartphone. It's another thing when you're so arrogant. Is to tell the God who provided the way, I know a better way to your house than you do. The arrogance of unbelief. Because he has chosen in his heart not to believe. Because he has chosen to reject the way that Jesus Christ provided himself. But not because of the arrogance of unbelief. But look what he goes on in verse 19. And he says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. What is the second cause of condemnation? Not only is it the arrogance of unbelief, but it is the arrival of light. It is the fact that light has come. Man is condemned because he rejects the very light that God provided. God has provided the light. And by light, we're not talking about incandescent CFLs, LEDs, whatever we light our house. We're not talking about even the sun or the moon or the stars. We're talking about the very Son of God. And so Jesus says that man is condemned because the light has come. Now, what does light do? Light exposes evil. Light exposes sin. And so the arrogance of unbelief is a problem. But the arrival of light, man is condemned because God has sent His Son, as He said in verse 16, and because He has sent that Son, and man has chosen to reject that light. He has chosen to ignore the very light. I don't know about you, but every now and then, I don't know what it is about us. Part of it goes back to that arrogance. It's hard to tell how many times I've walked through this building. But on occasion, I will come in here, and it will be nighttime, and I will come in, and rather than cut on the light, I will walk through here and kind of by instinct feel my way around. And kind of know where that aisle is, and I can find my way down it. And think about it. How foolish is that? We do that in our home sometimes. We'll get up. It's my house. I've walked through it 100 times. I don't need the light. Ow! Yeah. You know, you got small children, you know the grand, wonderful experience stepping on a Lego or a Matchbox car. Why? Because we said, I've got light. I paid the power bill. I put light bulbs in the fixtures. But I refuse to turn on the light. Therefore, if I stump my toe, is it the electric company's fault? If I step on a Lego or a Matchbox car, it's not the light bulb's fault. It's not the light switch's fault. It's not the electrician's fault. It was my choice. The light has come, and I refuse to turn it on. I refuse to accept, to take advantage of the light that has been provided for me. And so Jesus says, a man is condemned not because God says, Tommy, go away. The man is condemned because God said, here's the light. And the man said, thanks, but no thanks. You're like me. I've walked through my house, through this building. Many times I've come in, I don't know what you know about how they build this building laid out, but I've come in that door right over there, that side entrance, where all dozen light switches are. I've walked past those light switches and fumbled and stumbled my way through. That's not the light switches. I didn't even know there was such a thing until I came here. But there's 300 watt light bulbs in every one of those fixtures. Let that sink in for a minute. Didn't even know there was a 300 watt light bulb. 300 watt. There's 300. How many? 1, 2, 6, 8. 15 different light bulbs in this room. And if I walk through in the dark, whose responsibility is it? If I walk through in the dark and I trip over a pew and I break my arm, whose fault is it? Is it the man who's put the pew in the aisle? Is it the electrician's fault? Christ says, a man who is condemned because of the very arrogance of unbelief. That he said, I know a better way to God's house than God does. Because a man rejects the light. God says, I don't just tell you the way to my house, I have provided a means of transportation to my house. You don't even have to do the driving. You are saved through Jesus Christ. I have sent the light. But I want you to see what he goes on beyond that. Not just the arrival of light. It's not just that man rejects light, but look what he goes on and says, not only is it the arrival of light and the arrogance of unbelief, but then look what he says. He says in the remainder of that verse that man has loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Why do we have the arrival of light, the arrogance of unbelief, but we've got the very appreciation of darkness? Look at that again. It says that a man in that verse doesn't just reject light, but he loves darkness. Think about that for a moment. Why is a man condemned? Not just because he says Christ. But by saying, I don't want Jesus Christ, I reject Jesus Christ, that man is saying, I love darkness. Now you understand this morning what light and darkness, who, what that represents. I don't want light. I reject light in Jesus Christ. I love darkness or evil or Satan. Think about that for a moment. There are many people in this world. Matter of fact, I don't know any, and I'm sure they're out there, but I don't know anyone personally who I believe would look at me and go, I hate Jesus. The most vile person I know, I don't believe would look at me and say that. Again, I'm sure there's some out there. We live in a world of who knows what. But I don't know anybody personally who would say, I hate Jesus and I love the devil. But I want you to hear something this morning, and I want you to keep this in mind. Many of you are sitting here today, and you already know Jesus Christ personally. But I want you to hear this, and hear this well, that we live in a world where our children, our neighbors, our co-workers, they're not just good people who need to go to church. If they don't know Jesus Christ in their heart, according to Scripture, they have said, I don't want Jesus Christ. I hate Jesus Christ. I love evil. That's what Jesus said. A man that rejects light loves evil, loves darkness. Now Jesus said what? He said, you're either for me or against me. You either love me or you hate me. You're either alive or you're dead. What we need to understand this morning is spiritually, there is no Switzerland. Spiritually, there is no neutral ground. That there is no one standing on this earth who goes, well, I just haven't decided yet. I'm thinking about it. I've told you about the young man who told me, well, I'm thinking through all the world religions and trying to figure out which one I think is right and best. No. You have rejected Jesus Christ and you have chose evil. This morning, if you've got family and friends, and this may hurt some of your feelings, but understand this. Your family and friends that you're looking at and you care about and you love, they may be good people. They may not be in the FBI's top 10. They may not be out, you know, robbing banks. But they either love light or they love darkness. And we need to pray and act accordingly. Our children, our grandchildren, our family, our friends, they are either saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no middle ground. If you reject light, Christ says you love darkness. And we know why they love darkness. He says it. In the darkness, the light shows your sin. It's painful to have Christ shine the light. I was thinking this week, I forgot where I was, something was said, reminded me of the song that Tommy sings sometimes about how Christ came to visit. And wanted to walk through the house and go into all the rooms. We're not going in that room, Lord. It's painful sometimes to have the light shone in your eyes. It's painful sometimes to have the light shine. It's understandable why man would love darkness. Why is a man condemned? Because of the arrogance of his unbelief. He says, I know better way to your house, Lord, than you do. Because of the arrival of light. Because of the fact that Jesus Christ has came and a man rejects him. But to add to that, it's not just that they reject Christ, but that they love evil and darkness. Think about what that says to God. This may not be the grandest illustration that a preacher's ever brought up, but this happens pretty often. You go into someone's home, you visit in their home, and they say, "Would you like something to drink? Would you like?" So you go into someone's home. Imagine someone coming into your home, and you say, "I just made a fresh pitcher of sweet tea. Would you like a glass?" And it's quite likely that they might say, "No, I'm good. I just had lunch." That's one thing. But if they looked at you and said, "No, I don't want any of your tea, but if you got a cup, I'll go scoop me some water out of the tub." Now, how as a host would you receive that? "No, thank you, but I think I'll root around under your cabinet and find some Lysol to take a swig." No, thank you. It's one thing to say no thank you to the light. It's another thing to go out in the world and bring color to life. Folks, that's the best. Christ says, "Man has rejected the sweet tea of heaven and the cold water of this world. They have chosen evil, darkness, Satan, over light, good, and Christ. The wiser man condemned. The arrogance of his unbelief. The arrival of light. The appreciation of darkness." Then notice in this next verse, he gives us another reason. The animosity to the truth. Look what he says in that verse. "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." There it is. You either hate light or you hate darkness. You love light or you love darkness. There is no middle ground. "Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." What is the final reason that he gives us? Why is a man condemned? Man is condemned because of the arrogance of his unbelief. And he says, "Lord, I know a better way, another way to your house. I know you said there's only one way, but I don't believe you." Because of the arrival of light, the gift of God, that man has rejected. But not just that he has rejected that gift, but because of his appreciation of darkness. He's rejected light and instead said, "I love darkness." His animosity to the truth. The truth of God's Word that says no man comes to the Father but by me. The truth of God's Word that says God so loved the world that Nicodemus, if you go to hell, it will be because you rejected the truth I just gave you. I just told you that God loved you so much that he sent me to die for you. And so if you go to hell, Nicodemus, you will go because you said, "No thanks. I don't believe you. I don't believe what you're saying. I don't accept what you're saying." Why? How could God, a loving God, allow or send someone to hell? I think a more accurate question would be, why or how could a just God allow us into hell? I think that's a good question. I want you to think for just a moment on this. The next time you hear that statement, or the next time you think that statement, why would a loving God send a person to hell? Why would a loving God allow a person to go to hell? I want you to think about what Jesus just said. Christ just said that a man who is condemned because he refuses to believe in the name of Jesus. He rejects. Because he rejects the light that God gave him. Because he has chosen darkness, evil, Satan. He hates the light, in fact, is what it says. And loves darkness. So why would a man who has lived his entire life, 50, 60, 70 years, arrogantly believing that he knows more than God, rejecting the light that God gave him, hating the light and loving the darkness, rejecting the truth of God's word. Let me ask you this question. Instead of asking, why would God allow or send that person there? Let me ask you this. Why would a loving God take a man who has lived his entire life rejecting God, refusing God, literally, as God's word says, hating God? Why would God then take that person who has lived his 60 or 70 years of his life saying, I hate God, and put him into heaven with Jesus Christ? You live 60, 70 years on this earth saying, I hate Jesus, surely you don't want to spend eternity with him. You've rejected life. You don't believe him. Surely you don't want to spend an eternity with him. So it's not that God sends a man to hell. Man chooses and says. God simply gives you your wish. I hate God. I reject God. I reject light. I reject light. God says, fine, then you can have what the Bible describes as outer darkness. You love darkness so well, you can have it. You hate light so bad, fine, you'll never see it again. You reject the name of Jesus, you'll never hear it again. You don't want truth, you can go live with the Father of lies. How could a God of love do anything but allow a man to have his choice? How could he do anything but allow a man to have his choice? You can't love both. You love light or you love darkness. But there's consequences to what you choose to love. There's consequences. I want to ask you to bow your head this morning. This morning, there are two groups of people in this room. There are those who love light. There are those who love darkness. We don't like to be quite that boxed in our world today. We like options. We like choices. We like multiple choice exams. Christ says there's only two. You love light or you love darkness. For those of you this morning who are sitting here who would say, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart. I know Him personally. I know Him as my Savior. I have no doubt I am not living in condemnation. I have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to remind you this morning that your friends, your loved ones, your family, they're not just good people who just hadn't figured it out yet. They are lost. They have rejected Jesus Christ. When's the last time we lifted their name up in prayer? What would happen if we prayed as hard and as often for our lost loved ones as we do for the healing of our sick loved ones? This morning, God's laid a face, a name on your heart, maybe multiple names of those who have, you know, or as far as you know, as far as you, from all evidence you can see, they have rejected the very light. They have arrogantly decided, I know a better way. I want to invite you and encourage you this morning to come and kneel at this altar, lifting up their name, praying for their salvation, praying that God would give you a door, giving you an opportunity to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. But just as important, more important this morning, it's difficult to imagine that in a room with this many people, that there's not someone sitting here who, if they were honest, would say, I've never asked Jesus Christ into my heart. I don't know Him personally. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm not trying to make you mad. Just the opposite. I want you to know I love you. And if I didn't love you, I wouldn't tell you this. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you never ask Him into your heart, if you've never accepted Him personally, then you have rejected Him completely. I don't care how often you come to church, how much you give, what office you hold. If you arrogantly believe that the job you do at church, or how many times you attend church, how long you've been coming to church, how much you give to the church, if you arrogantly believe that some way, somehow, that is going to get you into heaven, I must tell you what the words of Jesus Christ was. You are condemned already. There is only one way to the Father. This morning you don't know Him personally. I care how long you've been coming to church, what job you may have had. In a moment, we're going to sing. And I want to invite you on the very first note to step out and to come to the light of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. God, it's far more plain sometimes than we want it to be. It's far more cutting than we'd like it to be. But God, this morning You've answered the question about why You would allow a man to spend an eternity in hell. Because they chose. But God, this morning, while we still have time, while we still have life and breath, Father, I pray this morning that You will touch hearts. God, if there's one here today that doesn't know You personally, God, that they'd choose today life, that they would choose light, that they would choose the only way to You, that they would step out and they would come ask Jesus Christ into their heart. God, for Christians, that we would be burdened with the reality of lost loved ones and friends. They're not just good people who are a little misguided. They're lost and undone without Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will move in this invitation, that our hearts, our lives will be touched and we'll be different. For it's in Jesus' marvelous name I pray. Amen. As we stand together.